This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
4 minutes after the hour, it's Wednesday, August 25th. Good morning and welcome back to another hour of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for tuning in coast to coast here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Today is the feast of St. Louis the Ninth, the King of France. And keep in mind also that Wednesday is the traditional day dedicated to St. Joseph, something that we always talk about every Wednesday here in the year of St. Joseph. I also want to take a moment to tell you about another outstanding book promotion from Relevant Radio. Father Rocky's new updated edition of his book, Marriage Insurance, 12 Rules to Live By, is now available at relevantradio.com/marriage. It's totally free, no shipping or handling charges for a limited time. This is a book for people who are married. It's also for people who were married or are about to be married. It's also for people who want to be married someday. In other words, it's for everybody. I highly endorse, highly recommend this book. In fact, Father Rocky actually preached about this book years ago at our wedding at St. Mary of the Angels in Chicago for my wife Cindy and I when we got married. And so it's something that is very, very special. I've got my signed copy here in studio, just as a reminder. Marriage Insurance, 12 Rules to Live By, has 12 practical steps, pages of marriage stories and prayers to live by, whether you're going on your first date ever or you've been together for 30, 40, 50 years. It's always the right time to insure your marriage. Marriage Insurance, 12 Rules to Live By. You can get your free copy at relevantradio.com/marriage. Now, as we do every single day here at the beginning of the show, at the beginning of each hour, we begin in prayer, invoking the powerful intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of life and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, in this year of St. Joseph, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And as we do every day, we invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Coming up momentarily, we'll be joined by Father Marcel Tyone, our spiritual director today, the pastor of St. Thomas More Catholic Parish in Narragansett, Rhode Island, and a regular contributor to Relevant Radio who's going to talk to us about how to properly receive the Holy Eucharist. A little bit later this hour, national pro-life leader Astrid Bennett Gutierrez will be with us to discuss the beautiful option of adoption. We'll also bring you another episode of Glenn's Story Corner, all that and much more here this hour on Morning Air. As always, we have the power scripture from the Playbook of Life. Today's edition is from 1 Timothy 2, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. The Apostle St. Paul writes, "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all men, for kings, and for all in high positions, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life, godly and respectful in every way." The Apostle St. Paul reminds us to pray for our leaders, to pray for our government, our president, to pray for our Congress. Our country was founded on Judeo-Christian principles, and our nation needs prayer. and our Lord Jesus Christ more than ever before. America needs Christ. We may not agree with our president or our governor or some other public official, but Holy Scripture asks us to pray for them because we're still one nation under God. And we always finish up by saying and praying, Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Last week at the funeral mass of Chicago police officer Ella French, who was killed in the line of duty on August 7th, Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot, a non-Catholic Christian living in a same-sex marriage, received Holy Communion. This was a very unfortunate situation. Although the Chicago police chaplain said he was mortified that he mistakenly gave her the Holy Eucharist, I thought this would be a great opportunity to discuss this situation and remind our fellow Catholics and even non-Catholics that may listen to our show about the requirements to receive Holy Communion. And now joining us to talk about church teaching on receiving the Holy Eucharist is our spiritual director today, Father Marcel Tyone, the pastor of St. Thomas More Catholic Parish in Narragansett, Rhode Island, and a regular contributor to Relevant Radio. Good morning, Father Tyone. Welcome back to Morning Air. It's always a joy to be with you.
Good morning to you, too. Good to be with you.
Father Tyone, before we talk about the Holy Eucharist, can you give us an update? How did this tropical storm, Henri, affect your area and the New England area?
Yes, so actually, where we live was the hardest hit area, southern Rhode Island. So it was a pretty difficult thing. Almost virtually the whole town here was without power, certainly the parishes, the churches. So most people lost power for at least 2 days, sometimes three. There's still some people that don't have it. As you can imagine, it's kind of warm, no air conditioning, but also all the food has to be thrown away in the refrigerator. So it was a lot of damage, a lot of trees down. Fortunately, no one was injured, but it was quite a surprise. We went to bed the night before. They said it would go through Long Island and Connecticut, and instead we woke up and it was literally came on shore right westerly Narragansett around right in this area. So, but we've made it through. A lot of good first responders and great cleanup going on, but it was certainly not just a heavy shower. I can tell you that.
And I'm sure that it gives one a lot of empathy for what the poor people down in Haiti are going through. I mean, New England was nothing like Haiti, but I'm sure that it reminds us of the blessings that we have.
Well, I think that's what happens. Even these natural storms and disasters that come by, it does make you think of Haiti, Afghanistan, and just can't imagine how much our brothers and sisters are suffering in those kind of places. So it's a humbling blessed experience in that way. So I think you're right. That's one of the blessings. You really think of how many places have so much less and so much more turmoil, and we have resources to recover quickly. So we need to pray for our brothers and sisters, especially in Haiti, in these days for sure.
Now, Father Tyone, as you know, the killing of Officer Ella French, who captured the attention of not only Chicago but our country, the way in which it happened, as she died in the line of duty, was such a sad situation in Chicago. But the Chicago police chaplain that gave out Holy Communion at her funeral mass said that he was deeply apologetic to all who were offended by the mayor, Lori Lightfoot, receiving Holy Communion. And I thought we were talking with my producer, Gabby, that this is a great teaching opportunity. I think this situation is a great opportunity to remind us of what is Holy Communion and what are some of the rules that our faith, our church has about receiving in a worthy fashion.
Amen. Well, we do. We honor that police officer for her service and dedication first, of course. But yeah, so in order to receive Holy Communion in the Catholic Church, one has to be Catholic and in right relationship with the Church and her teachings. So this happens, a great conversation, because I think if you are Catholic and you understand we believe in the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist, and many of our Protestant brothers and sisters do not have valid ordained priests and so do not believe in the Eucharist as the Church has always held to. So when we receive communion, we have to be in communion with Christ and his teaching. So it's not just a piece of bread, it's Christ himself and we have to be in communion with Christ in the church to receive. I will say, I think this is a great conversation because many non-Catholics do not understand the difference, or have never heard the difference in our understanding faith and belief in the true presence. So they come to Mass, and oftentimes they go up, and you know, if you really don't understand what's happening, what the Mass really is, and sometimes people will come up, and you can sort of tell as the priest giving out communion or a lay person, people look kind of confused. They're not sure. They can't see the front of the people receiving, so you can tell they're not putting their hand out, or they don't know how to receive the Lord, and they don't believe it's the Lord, but they're almost being polite sometimes. I find most people are not purposely making the first communion. It kind of falls on us, the hosts of the Mass, to ever so gently but clearly to figure out what to do in those situations. Again, people come up, they shouldn't receive, and Catholics too that are not in the state of grace also should not receive. So it's in some sense not a discriminatory teaching, it's a teaching about love, and to receive the Eucharist is a call. To not receive the Eucharist is a call to conversion, is a call to understand Christ and to come into full communion with the Church and the teaching. So who should receive that? Really just Catholics in a state of grace. So maybe if you're Catholic and hearing this, if you kind of people maybe come back for Christmas, you know, it's not the right time to sort of explain the discipline publicly, but there are ways to do it very gently to make sure that only those properly disposed, I like that term, properly disposed to receive, should receive. So again, I give blessings to people that come up or are confused. I might whisper to them, "Are you Catholic?" So no one can hear me. And if they say no, I say, "Well, God bless you. May God bless you." Say the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. No one's offended by that. They're not. I think, you know, I make an announcement at all funerals and weddings. It's very gentle. After I consume the body and blood, I invite people for blessings if they'd like. In other words, I'd say non-Catholics and those not properly disposed are still welcome to receive a blessing. I know that's a bit controversial in some places to do that, but I find it gives people permission not to receive and instruction not to receive in a very loving, gentle way. But it's a problem. But I do feel bad for that priest too, because I'm sure funerals are, especially large funerals for very, you know, very difficult situation. That police officer, it sounds like he said he was just placed there at the last minute, and you know, a lot's going on. So I know he feels terrible, as he should and does, but he does feel terrible. I think it wasn't purposeful on his part. We don't know all the details, but you feel bad. You do feel bad for everyone involved. But it is a teaching moment. I'm glad you brought it up, because it's a teaching moment. And if you're listening to the program today, if you bring non-Catholics to Mass, giving them good instruction, either come up for a blessing, remain in the pew, how to cross themselves so they're not receiving to the person giving out. Again, a lay person cannot bless a person, so they would go to the priest or the deacon. So only clergy can actually bless the people in line that are not receiving or at any other time. So we want to make sure we kind of guide our friends, our loved ones, if they're going to get a blessing, to the clergy, but more importantly, to ever so gently explain to them why they shouldn't receive communion, and why that's a, I always say, if you're not receiving, you're loving and respecting Christ. Like, there's some times where we don't receive Christ out of respect for him, so that they don't feel second class, but first class respecters of the differences, and hopefully a seed to be planted that they get hungry to receive the Lord. So certainly, I think it's a very relevant topic and one that causes great consternation and confusion in good people every day. So thank you for wanting to talk about this today.
And Father Tyone, we have to understand where our friends and relatives who are not Catholic are coming from. If they're evangelicals, they think of the Lord's Supper and they receive a little prune juice and a wafer. And for them, it really is a symbol. And so if they've never been to a Catholic Mass, for them, they're just receiving a symbol, a reminder of the Lord's Supper. Whereas for us, as Catholics, it's truly the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. Can you talk about how the Holy Eucharist really is for us the source and summit of our faith? It is everything, and it's what makes us different than all of our other brothers and sister Christians.
Amen. And you bring up, you know, something you just said makes me bring up the other side of it, right? So when Catholics who believe in the true presence of Christ go to other churches, we're not supposed to receive in the other churches, the Episcopal Church, the Methodist Church, and sometimes, you know, kind of looks and feels like Catholic Mass. But for us, we need validly ordained priests that have their roots to the 12 apostles to receive. So likewise, we would receive in the Catholic Church, but out of respect for the true presence, we don't receive when we go to other denominations that are not in union with Rome, with the Holy Father. And I think many Catholics, too, don't know that. They feel the same way as the Protestants or the non-believers that come to our churches. They feel like they're being impolite by not receiving in the other churches. I've had people explain that to me. They ask, what do I do? So remember, we believe in the true presence of Christ, and we're not being disrespectful by not receiving in other churches, and we're not being disrespectful by asking people to refrain from receiving in our churches. We'll never have Christian unity if we take what's not the true presence in other places. The divisions actually call for unity, and there's something powerful about that besides respecting the real presence. So it goes both ways. So Catholics should never receive communion in a church not that doesn't have valid priests and is not in union with Rome. So I think many of our people don't know that. That comes up a lot too. So I think that's the other side of this coin, the other side of this, actually this truth and this love and this reality is a better way to say it. But we believe in the true presence of Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity at the Mass and in our tabernacles. And again, that we, you know, how we pray is what we believe. And so we have to respect and love the Eucharist and be careful, in a sense, in a loving way, to catechize our brothers and sisters of other faiths when they come to us. But also, we too need to be informed. We go to a Protestant funeral, a Protestant wedding. Praise God, they're Christians. They share our baptism. They believe that Christ is God, but they do not share in the communion with us in the Eucharist and holy orders and certain other things. So we also would refrain from taking communion in other churches. I think that's an important part of the discussion here, too.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, Father Tyone. Years ago, during Christian Unity Week that goes on every January, I went and visited a few different Protestant churches just to see what went on. Obviously, I wasn't going to receive their communion, but I saw with my own eyes in a Black Baptist church the revers that they had for the Lord's Supper, even though it's just a symbol for them. The fellows that were serving Holy Communion in platters were wearing white gloves out of reverence. I went to a Missouri Lutheran service where they knelt for receiving Holy Communion. I mean, I think that people by nature hunger to receive the Eucharist. Even our separated brothers who don't have the fullness of the faith, they don't have the priesthood, so they don't have the real Holy Eucharist.
Well, you bring up a great point, right? So, yeah, so other Christians, they still revere the Last Supper, and that's obviously Holy Thursday for us, what happened to the Lord, and they do. And they do have their own reverence for the symbol of communion. Again, they don't have you have to have a validly ordained priest to receive valid Eucharist. And again, when I do RCIA, the convert classes we have, when I put the tree up towards the beginning of the year, because many of them are Protestants becoming Catholics, and they see the breaks in Christianity, and then they understand kind of which tree branch they're on and where the roots go. And it's really, you know, it's fascinating. Right away they see how clear it is. But you're right. People love Jesus. They believe the Last Supper happened. And it is the fact that they're even having prune juice or wafers, that they're still reverencing the Last Supper and Christ's meal with his apostles. So, you know, they do believe in the Last Supper and in Jesus. They just don't have the true presence of Christ, the fullness of Christ's teaching. So we respect them. We love them. We condemn no one. We pray for Christian unity. But part of getting Christian unity is respecting each other's beliefs in the differences and sometimes vast differences around the Eucharist and holy orders. So again, I think it's a great topic. It's something Catholics need to be more aware, so we can be good in those situations that you talk about, going to other churches and receiving well and hospitably those that come to our doors, into any Catholic church is open to anyone. Anyone can go to Mass. Just who should receive is the question, but all people are invited to come and worship with us, and that's an important thing too. I think exposing people to Catholic Mass, explaining what it is, and being good stewards of the Eucharist, not, again, not receiving in other churches, and not it, and make sure people, when they come in to worship with us, have a great comfort level and can be feel loved by not receiving, that they're not doing something wrong, but they're doing something good, and we affirm them the way we do that. I think that's an important part, too.
Father Tayon, final 2 minutes that we have, just a quick reminder of how we as Catholics can be better prepared to receive our Lord Jesus Christ in the Holy Eucharist.
So we should fast for an hour if we don't have health issues. We should pray before, come early to Mass, try to get there early, make a good acknowledgement of the real presence of Jesus. If you're walking up the aisle, some people say to themselves, "My Lord and my God, my Lord and my God," and a reverent reception on the tongue or in the hand. And really, when you go back to your place, really speaking to Jesus aware he's coming into you in his true presence. And that changes. That's such the source and summit of the Mass, too, in a sense, consecration and that. So just getting hungrier to receive him. And I think that's the best preparation, being hungry for that. Wherever you're listening today, hunger for the Eucharist, hunger for Jesus, and for good worship.
Well, Father Tayon, as always, so much appreciate your wonderful insights on how to properly receive our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. Thank you, Father Tayon.
God bless you, and thanks for the topic.
Father Marcel Tayon, the pastor at St. Thomas More Catholic Parish in Narragansett, Rhode Island. We're going to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, national pro-life leader Astrid Bennett Gutierrez, the executive director of LA Pregnancy Services, will join us live from the West Coast to discuss the beautiful option of adoption. Stay with us. There's much more to come as Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
29 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us on this Wednesday morning. Coming up this half hour, we'll have yet another episode of Glenn's Story Corner. Our number, if you want to be part of the show, is 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now I want to talk about the issue of life and specifically the beautiful option of adoption. This is an issue that I am extremely passionate about. As an adoptive father of now a 13-year-old teenager, I can tell you firsthand that adoption is a beautiful, it's a kind, loving choice for everybody involved. There are millions of couples out there across our country that, for whatever reason, are not able to conceive, but many of them are open to adoption. But the question that always goes through my mind is, why do so many people, so much more people, choose abortion over adoption? Now joining us to be with us here live from Los Angeles, California, is my friend Astrid Bennett Gutierrez to talk about adoption. Astrid is a pro-life activist and speaker working in the Hispanic community to save the unborn and train leaders to end abortion. She is the president of the Vida Initiative and the executive director of Los Angeles Pregnancy Services. Good morning, Astrid. Welcome back to Morning Air. Great to be with you once again from LA, where it's quite early there.
John, good morning. So happy to be here. I'm a bit of an early bird, so I'm happy to join you at this hour, especially to speak about this wonderful topic. And I know it's near and dear to your heart as someone who has experienced firsthand the beautiful gift of adoption, because that's exactly what it is, John. It's a beautiful gift. Adoption is the gift of life and a gift of family to a child who, like you very accurately alluded, this child could have been a victim of abortion. And here is this beautiful alternative of adoption for a woman who thinks that there isn't a way for her to raise a child. We can present to her as a Christian community, as a pro-life community, that there is this loving adoption option. And many women, I think many people, still believe many myths surrounding adoption. But I'd like to share a story, John, with the audience. It
Absolutely.
Just came out on Life. Life News and Live Action just published this incredible story. It was also on the media there, the mainstream media. Melanie Presley of Ohio was reunited with her son that she placed for adoption 33 years ago. They were reconnected very providentially through one of these new DNA testing kits, you know, that are famous right now, that are popular. And they both realized that they were possibly, you know, biological mother and son. And of course, it's natural, a woman who makes this sacrificial sacrificial gift of placing a child for adoption, choosing that, even though it's difficult and it takes a lot of maturity, choose that over over abortion is something so, so tremendous. And yet, of course, there is always that feeling of, I wonder where the child is now, what he's doing. And thankfully, it's a hopeful feeling, because women who have abortions have a regretful feeling about what if. But in this case, she was wondering, you know, what he was doing, if he was happy. And well, they were reunited, and it was a beautiful reunion, and they both felt that it was a tremendous gift, and they were grateful. So I invite you to visit Live Action's news page, and also lifenews.com. I'm happy to share it as well. I have it on my Facebook page, Astrid Bene Gutierrez, and I'm on Instagram and Telegram as well. You can find it there, because we need to share these stories, John. A lot of women think that, you know, they still believe, and people believe that adoption is giving up. Adoption is giving away. We still use these terms, give up for adoption, give away. We really should move away from using these terms. In fact, the pro-life advocates, myself included, I'm a pro-life advocate at a pregnancy center. We invite women to consider to make a plan for adoption, to place the child in a loving home, to give the child a life, and to give the child a loving home, a family. In fact, the woman that chooses adoption is in the driver's seat in this decision. She really does make a lot of these decisions. She does have the ability to choose a family and to possibly be involved with the family through open adoption is an option, where the birth mother can continue to be in touch with the child in a mutually agreed upon arrangement with the family. So I want to invite everyone to rethink adoption, to talk about it in new terms, and to realize that there really is this beautiful solution, alternative to abortion, John.
Astrid, I just can't help but think of why and how can it be that there are so many people out there, you know, estimate somewhere around in the neighborhood of about 2 million couples that can't have a baby. And yet there's so many more people who choose abortion over adoption. Why do you suppose this is going on in our country?
I believe that there are so many myths surrounding the option of giving life to a child, whether it's to raise the child or to place the child for adoption. Naturally, every decision is going to involve challenges. But when you choose life, you're choosing God's plan. There are not only challenges, John, but unexpected joys. And in fact, in this story, Melanie Presley used that term. There are unexpected joys involved with making a decision for adoption. She was reunited with her child 33 years later and saw that he was a father of two children, and he was happy and fulfilled.
Can you imagine the joy? Can you imagine that moment, the emotions at that moment after 33 years? My goodness.
And they were captured when you see the news coverage in the article. There's a photo of when they met each other and that embrace, and I think 33 years. And what did she think when she was embracing him? And I imagine she's thinking, this was worth it. And she probably remembered the scared 18-year-old woman that she was, making this decision and not wondering. Because when you act sometimes in faith, you don't know quite what's going to happen after, how you're going to feel. And some women are concerned about the child's reaction. Will the child think that I made the wrong decision or abandoned them? And no, when things are done in love, you know, especially a child like Greg, who was born into an era where abortion is a solution that, as you said, many women choose. He was a survivor, and his mother made a beautiful, heroic decision. It's exactly what he affirmed. And I've spoken to children who are adopted, and that's exactly what I hear, is that they admire that birth mother that could have easily chosen abortion and yet heroically made this decision and took the time to choose a family for them. It isn't something that's done without these kind of provisions. Women are involved in the decision and making sure that a good family is selected to raise the child. So I invite everyone to really look at what adoption really is. It is a gift. It is a loving option. It is an alternative to abortion. And it's something that all pro-life people should be promoting. Please share this story. It's a new story, and it's something that's going to move hearts. And I think it's going to begin to demystify adoption. And because people, I think, still have lingering doubts, and naturally, John, it is a difficult decision. We're not going to make light of that. But that it's worth it in the long term, that it gives a woman long-term peace, is a fact, as opposed to abortion that gives women a tremendous amount of regret, that takes a lot of healing. Of course, healing that Jesus Christ can give them. And we invite anyone who's had an abortion to abandon themselves in the loving arms of Christ in the sacrament of confession, the beautiful healing retreats that exist, like Rachel's Vineyard. But this is something that we hope that we continue to promote, so that young women in this situation do not feel trapped and realize that they are mothers, that they are blessed, and they are entrusted with this precious life, that they can choose adoption, that there are wonderful agencies that will walk them through this decision. I invite everyone who knows a young woman, who knows someone who is in a situation like that, the crisis pregnancy, to please contact the local pregnancy centers. It's very easy to find your local center. Pregnancycenters.org will connect you with your local center. And please don't walk through a difficult pregnancy situation alone.
Well, Astrid, this is such an important conversation that we're having. I love the way you describe it, a loving gift. I think it's a beautiful gift. It is literally a gift from above for our family. And I want to talk a little bit about this later, my own personal experience with adoption. We're talking about adoption with Astrid Bennett Gutierrez, live from Los Angeles, pro-life leader, president of the VIDA Initiative, and the executive director of Los Angeles Pregnancy Services. If you've been adopted, if you've made an adoption plan, if you have any questions or thoughts on this beautiful option of adoption, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Astrid, can you talk a little bit about the process of adoption from both sides, from the mother and from the family that's looking to adopt? Give us a little idea of what one goes through in this process of adoption.
Of course. And I've been involved with counseling women that are pregnant, many considering abortion. And, you know, they come to us for advice, for counseling. And it's wonderful to be able to listen, of course, to their situation and their fears, and then to present this option that they might not have considered, adoption. And adoption is something where she is in the driver's seat. She is can select it, and she can ask all the questions, and she can even look at different couples' profiles choose to meet a family and interview them, you know. So it's something that's tremendously powerful, a very powerful thing, where she's very involved, where she's not wondering what happened to the child. She really has been involved in the decision. So I want to invite everyone to don't fear in recommending adoption. It really is a very positive option and process. Is what I've been able to observe, and I have been able to observe as well the long-term peace that it can provide for a woman to have chosen life and have been involved in the process to make sure that the child is placed in a loving home. This is such a beautiful option, even though it is difficult, and it is not chosen as often as we like. Unfortunately, people choose abortion, but it is something that is loving, and we can present it in a very loving way.
888-914-9149. We're going to take a short break, but we continue our conversation with Astrid Bennett Gutierrez, talking about the beautiful gift and beautiful option of adoption. Stay with us. We'll be back with more after this. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day with the issues that matter most. This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
46 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for being with us as we continue our conversation with my good friend Astrid Bennett Gutierrez, live from Los Angeles, the executive director of Los Angeles Pregnancy Services, and we're discussing adoption. Again, as I mentioned before the break, if you want to share your experience, if you yourself are adopted, or perhaps you've made an adoption plan in the past, or you're a family of an adopted child, please give us a call and share your story. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We have open lines as we speak. Astrid, welcome back.
Thank you so much, John. And I just want to just tell everyone that not to be afraid to talk about adoption. And I know there's so many myths surrounding it, but I think when you experience it, when you walk through somebody through it, you really see some incredible things, the courage and the love that people are capable of. Also, it's a gift to the family that chooses adoption. There's a lot of uncertainty on their side as well, as you've experienced firsthand. But it's a walk of faith that we're inviting people to undertake, and really it's such an important part of the pro-life movement is the movement that promotes the beauty of adoption, the generosity of the families that open their heart and their home to adoption is something so beautiful. As you said, there are millions waiting to adopt, and children, you know, unfortunately are being lost to abortion when they could be given a loving home. And that's why it's so important that everyone knows about pregnancy centers. There are over 3,000 pregnancy centers all over the country and centers all over the world that can connect a young woman to some very compassionate counseling. And it's in that moment in the counseling where we can present this loving option as something she might not have considered before, maybe because she was believing a lot of the myths that unfortunately are still around today. But when we presented John, we also invite her to see the humanity of her child. And she's been entrusted with the destiny of this child, and she can choose to raise the child, which we're so happy to help her with. Even if she's a student and she's young, she has any kind of issues, problems, social issues that she needs to solve, we will help her because a child is never the problem. The child is always a blessing. And we can also present this option of adoption. Even though she doesn't choose adoption, John, when we present it, I think a lot of women begin to see the humanity of their child, understand that there is a child within her. There's someone within her that she's entrusted with, you know, with helping with their destiny. And in that moment, is when she can begin to open her heart. And we've seen many women in our center open their heart to adoption. And we've also seen the beautiful, incredible work of adoption agencies, how they just take the time to walk her through every issue, every doubt, every step of the way. She's in the driver's seat. She's, you know, helping to make these decisions. And then the beautiful moment when she begins to meet families that are open to adopting her child is something very beautiful to see, and to have the child embraced by that family and raised by that family. It's something of God. And it's part of the pro-life movement that we have to keep promoting, John. And I love to hear stories like Melanie and Greg, this beautiful mother and daughter, mother and son who met 33 years later. She found out her son that she placed 33 years ago is a father, is married, has two beautiful young daughters. So those are unexpected joys that come from choosing life and choosing adoption in particular.
Astrid, I got to believe that from all your work with LA Pregnancy Services, you've probably seen many moving adoption stories. I understand you have yet a more recent adoption story that you'd like to share.
Yes, absolutely. Young woman who was considering abortion. She had a young child, unmarried, and she didn't know how she could raise another child. And it just, the world told her, your solution, because of your circumstances, is abortion. Now, this woman was someone who believed in God. And so we spoke to her about, you know, her faith and what she thought God thought about her situation. And, you know, we presented this loving option of adoption. We clarified any misunderstanding she had about it, and she was open. And women are open to exploring it, which is great. They can explore it. They can, you know, say, this is for me, this is not for me. And that's what she did. She opened her heart to it. She realized, this really is from God. This is what God is calling me to do. And she was able to go through a wonderful Christian agency that introduced her to couples who had her similar beliefs. And she met a couple, she told us, that really, really, she just connected with them. And she felt in her heart that they were people that genuinely wanted to raise a child. They couldn't have a child. So many couples that are waiting for a child, open to adoption, are couples that that are carrying the cross of infertility. Or there are couples who are open to having more children. It's also the case. In this case, this is a young couple who could not have children. And so they embraced this child. And it was something very beautiful to see, in particular, this young woman, as she shared with us the process, to see the peace in her heart. There was love. There were questions, but there wasn't anxiety. There was a peace that came with her realizing, this is what God is calling me to. This is something loving. This is something heroic. This is not going to be easy. The moment when I, you know, give birth and maybe place the child might not be, it's not going to be easy, but I've gone through the process. I'm praying about this. I have peace. And that's what women tell us that adoption brings, is even though there are some difficult moments, it's peace. Peace of doing God's will. Peace of making a loving decision. So don't walk through this alone. Please connect any woman going through this situation with pregnancycenters.org. And you can also find me on Facebook, Instagram, or Telegram, Astrid Bennett Gutierrez. I'm happy to give more information to anyone who needs it. And I'm going to be sharing this beautiful story of Melanie and Greg that happened recently, as a reunion of mother and son after 33 years, after she placed him in a loving home in the gift of adoption. I'm going to be sharing that story. So just encouraging everyone to understand the truth about adoption, that it is a loving option.
Astrid, there's so many stories, so little time. Donna is joining us from Philadelphia with yet another adoption story. Donna, good morning. Welcome to Morning Air.
Yeah, thanks so much for hearing my call. So briefly, my mom's story was, she actually was put in an unwed home and prayed for her son in 1948 when she gave birth. And she thought she'd never be able to see him again. And although she was never able to tell her story, my grandmother actually told me, and then I just asked my mom, you know, I know this is your story, but if you want to talk about it. And she told us, you know, told my brothers and myself that, you know, she had to give up this child. And, you know, she prayed for him. And I asked if it was okay. And through the organization of AMA, we were able to find him. And he was so happy, too. He said he would have never thought. And he was happy my mother chose life. And, you know, they stayed in touch. And I do still, even though my mother's passed, we stay in touch. And we talk a number of times through the year and have met a number of times. So thank God for, you know, people who give up their child for adoption. It made his parents very happy and fulfilled. And he had a great life.
Thank you, Donna. Thank you so much for sharing your story. Appreciate it. We have time for one more caller. Sherry from Atlanta has another adoption story. Sherry, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning. I just wanted to let you know about my son, who we adopted when we prayed for a child. We stood in the garden, and my husband and I hugged and said that he's going to be born just for us. And when we searched, our birth mother said that she had drove to another state, to California, to have an abortion. And she sat in the abortion clinic, and she said that she's a Christian and she couldn't do this, and it was against her will. But she had two other children who she could not take care of, and her parents could not take care of one more child. But she ended up leaving that abortion clinic, calling her mother and saying that she was going to place this child for adoption. And her mother told her how proud she was of her. So she searched and she searched, and she went through probably 20 booklets of trying to find parents that she would approve of, because she was very particular, and found ours, and then finally made that decision. And we still keep in touch today. She received photographs all throughout the year, and she is constantly messaging me saying, I knew that I placed him in the right home. I thank you for taking him and taking good care of him. So.
Sherry, thank you. Thank you for sharing. We're just about out of time. Astrid, a final thought. We have about 30 seconds.
You see that it's clearly a gift that gives unexpected joys, a blessing to so many families. So do not be afraid to open your heart to adoption, to choose adoption. There are ways to do it in a very, very loving, peaceful way. Never walk through a situation of a difficult pregnancy alone. Call your local pregnancy center. It's very easy to find them, pregnancycenters.org, and they will walk you through this process. Thank you so much for this opportunity to share. God bless you, John, and everyone of Relevant Radio.
God bless you too, Astrid. Thanks so much. Astrid Benegutierrez is the president of the VIDA Initiative and executive director of Los Angeles Pregnancy Services. This is an issue that I am so passionate about as an adopted father. I say thank you, Jesus, for the gift of my adopted son, Joseph Dominic. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
As an adopted kid, I like that segment as well. Our story today called Answering the Call. A 9-year-old girl asked for Jeep drivers to join her father's funeral procession because she shared a love for Jeeps with her dad, and the Jeep community answered that call. Thursday afternoon last week, more than 100 Jeep owners joined the funeral procession for Chad Diesler in Hobart, Oklahoma. Diesler, who was 42, loved Jeeps and was even part of a local Jeep group. His daughter asked for a million Jeeps to escort her father to his final resting place. At the request of Diesler's daughter, the group helped organize the 7-mile procession from the funeral home to the Pioneer Cemetery in Wagner. A nearby Jeep dealership showed up with their vehicles, too. Diesler leaves behind his wife, April, and 5 children. A GoFundMe has been set up to help with the family's sudden loss. For Matthew 5:4, blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted.
Thanks so much, Glenn, as always. And we are so blessed to have you as an adoptive child with us. Again, this is it. That'll do it for this edition of Morning Air for Glenn Leverance, producers Gabby Burke, Mariano Gomez, and Sarah Tafoy, our entire Morning Air team. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Patrick Madrid is standing by. Let your light shine before all. God love you. We'll see you tomorrow.